Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, a couple of credentialed media guys and best friends who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the Locked On NBA Network. Go ahead and check out those other shows. By the time you're listening to this, the draft will be tomorrow.
Oh, so man.
Don't forget to check out Locked On NBA for all your mock draft needs. They're going to be mock drafting the entire first round. But on to Clippers news. It's my favorite day of the week in the Clippers sphere. It's Twitter Tuesday.
Hell yeah.
If you're unfamiliar, we send out a question on Twitter asking for what you want to know, what you want us to talk about. We've got some great questions. So thank you to everyone who sent those in ahead of time. Once again, if you ever want a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead and send that over to @LockedOnClips. And then for free agency, things have been a little bit quiet for the Clippers thus far.
Per usual.
A little bit to be expected, given how the front office operates. But it seems like talks are heating up around two topics, those being Chris Dunn, as well as possibly moving up in the NBA draft. We're going to talk about both of those, what we think, the repercussions, and then in shavings, which is just kind of where we open up the odds and ends floating around the NBA.
It's packed today.
We got a bunch of stuff we got to talk about. So stick around for all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. Welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Again, thank you to everyone who sent questions in at Locked On Clips. Always a good time. Going to get right into it right here. Dominic C has a pretty interesting idea. He says, expiring deal for Rudy G. Would you sign an above average point guard like Teague or Rondo and trade for Rudy Gobert?
Yes to half of this. I would definitely sign an above average point guard. I would personally not trade for Rudy Gobert. The idea of the defense is scintillating. Not get me wrong.
It's terrifying. Like it would be, it would be pretty absurd.
That could be the true Clamp City or whatever identity we've been pretending to push for the last 2 years. But the issue for me is just
how do you do it?
Rudy is going to be looking for a lot of money. Yeah. I don't know how you make the contract happen in the first place to make the swap. You got to go Pat plus, Lou plus.
Do a Trez sign and trade?
Or if you can get a Trez sign and trade, which.
You put him at like, so I would figure like you put Trez at sign and trade for $15 million a year plus Sham plus Lou. I mean, that works money-wise. I don't think the Jazz do it.
No, that works money-wise. I think 15 a year for Trez seems – I don't know. I think that's sort of on the very ceiling of what he would expect to get paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that the Jazz would be in a place to find that to be a favorable deal.
Compared to like getting rid of a DPOY candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said before, like the other issue with the expiring nature of his contract, we already have a big free agency next year. We have guys that are, to me, a much higher priority than Rudy Gobert. Like, they're not even in the same – not even the same conversation, not the same language, frankly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's pretty sufficient. I do think we need somebody else on that second unit. But I don't know that the trade for Gobert is a big enough move in the right direction, but I'm all for the above average point guard.
Yeah, absolutely. Emor Tenjao, which might be, they had a pretty, spooky avatar, so that might be a curse I just summoned. They asked what to expect from PG-13 next season, and I think we can expect kind of similar to what we got last season during the regular season, which was really good basketball for the most part. And I think we could see an uptick in opportunities for him from beyond the arc in a Ty Lue system with how he drills things down, hopefully, and how we get more ball movement and things like that. But I think we're going to see a fired up PG. He's coming in 100% healthy. There's no weird lingering shoulder stuff now. Like, he didn't really take any knocks in the bubble. So I think we're going to see a really good Paul George.
Yeah. I think we could see a return to form. he is an all-star. He is a great player. He really had, you know, great games and stretches of incredibly great play during the regular season. And, you know, after his bounce back in the playoffs, he looked a lot similar to the player that, you know, we expect him to be, save for that game seven, where, you know, and the wheels kind of collectively fell off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that we can expect to see him at the level that he was at in OKC that last year there. And I'm hoping that we can get him, you know, some more opportunities, and hopefully his ball handling can take a step in the right direction.
Or he doesn't have to do it just so get much back to, that it's just fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true, too. That's true. I think just Ty Lue sort of getting PG into spots where he's comfortable, getting that confidence back up. I think just not coming into a season injured is going to be a huge help. Yeah, PG's PG, man.
96 tour, baby. Let's get it. Nick Jacobs of Checkout Yam Madar fame. Again, thank you so much, Nick. This is a great question. What are the chances Zoo averages a double-double next season if given the higher usage he deserves? I think it's pretty damn high.
I think it's pretty damn high. Yeah.
He's pretty close now. He's like a point off and a couple boards, and that's in very limited minutes. So
yeah,
I think it's very high. If you could get odds on that, yeah, I'd take him.
Yeah. He's definitely capable of it. And I think, yeah, with the higher usage, it's going to be easier for him. And that's what I'd like for Zoo. I mean, he should be a double-double guy. He's a starting center in the NBA. It's,
yeah,
you know, this is his year to prove it to people outside of Clippers fandom. You know, I think if you're not in this circle, you know, you probably don't pay attention to Ivica Zubac. But I think you could after this year.
Yeah. And he's on the upswing too, right? Like everything he needed to work on, two seasons ago, he worked on for this season. We saw him getting playoff minutes, you know, he wasn't getting run off the floor. So I think it's going to be great. Ferdy Q asks, except for the Kings, how scary is the Pacific Division now? Which we talked about on last podcast, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this on Friday's episode. So we've gone up and down with Pacific Division. Charles and I are weirdly into it and ranking it and talking about it. And I'm just so glad that there's finally a reason to return to it.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly scary. I do have some questions about the CP3 Phoenix thing. It still is a lot of money. And
they lost good players. They weren't it's not like they were a team like before the bubble, they weren't exactly lighting it up.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? Like obviously the ceiling of the team is lifted. I just without seeing it on court and like seeing what they're able to do, I'm torn between wanting to say that it's going to be really good with Chris Paul, and other part of me is,
I mean,
like,
they're a playoff
how
team.
How much better though? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like they're a playoff team, but I mean, it's going to be, you know, you got the Warriors, Lakers, and Clippers all going for 1, 2, and 3 for seeding, and we all got to beat up on each other. And the Kings are going to be annoying too. Like, Kings are getting written off because of how heavy the Pacific Division is, especially at the top. You know, 3 out of the 5 teams have a legitimate odds for a championship, but the Kings are still going to be annoying. They beat us last year. It was annoying as hell.
Yeah, it's funny that no division is like truly 5 deep.
Yeah, yeah, you got to have your have-nots. Thankfully, there's nothing like the NFC East in the NBA, thankfully. Kind of speaking on that, the CP3 deal, Robert Yamagata wonders, with that deal being official, do we think the Clippers still trade for Rubio? He said, I don't see the Thunder keeping both Rubio and Shea. Counterpoint, I think keeping Rubio and Shea makes a whole bunch of sense for the Thunder, because Shea isn't the distributor that Rubio is, and he's kind of a tweener.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting fit wise, just because Shea is such a bizarre tweener.
Doesn't really shoot a whole bunch.
I think that this will be good for Shea in that he can like focus on scoring and stuff, getting that sort of consistent. It's been a problem for him in the playoffs. The difficulty is going to be just the lack of space when Rubio is on the floor, and anytime Shea has the ball in his hands, you know, Rubio is not going to command a lot of defensive looks. You know, he's not like a big shooting outside threat. You know, his game isn't really,
he's close
like
ish. Like he can light it up, but it's just so streaky.
Yeah. I mean, he's just not really a scorer.
So do you think we make a move for Rubio? I hope we do. I would love it if we got Ricky Rubio.
I mean, I would love to make a move for Rubio. I don't see us doing any more business with OKC, mainly just because I don't see what we truly have to offer them.
Yeah.
They're not interested in taking on long-term contracts, so that kind of rules out any sort of, you know, if you wanted to get Pat Bev or something involved. They're looking to offload money, and they're looking to open up their cap space, and they're looking to keep stockpiling picks. We have none of the latter to offer. And I just don't think – I mean, the only expiring you have is, like, Lou Will. So you're only halfway to the money there.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you could package a couple other guys in too. I just
seems hard.
I don't know. I would like it. I guess I'm not seeing a pathway to it being super realistic.
Yeah. And then last question before we head off into the Chris Dunn rumors. Corey DiBiase asks, would Robert Covington be a low-key steal for us if we traded for him? I don't think it'd really be a low-key steal. I think everyone would think it would be a great trade.
I don't think it's right? a great trade at all.
I mean, depending on what it was, a lot of people wanted Robert Covington on the team. I mean, I'd take PJ Tucker over Covington.
I just don't understand where Covington really fits in if we're able to keep Morris, and I would rather have Morris than Covington.
That's a good call.
If you want to run Covington at the five, you know, he's got a great, like, he's...
But if we
got
to choose,
he's
I
a great
agree
rim
with
defender.
You.
He has a lot of deflections. Covington's a solid player. Don't get me wrong. I like him a lot, but he's still getting paid $15 million a year. He's got two more years after this one. I think for that price, I mean, I think we can get Morris for a little less, personally.
Yeah, and then maybe make a move for PJ Tucker, which is my new favorite pipe dream. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Chris Dunn rumors. Also, the seemingly pretty obvious thing that the Clippers are going to move up in the draft. And speaking of the draft, there was a fantastic mock draft on Locked On NBA podcast. All of them did it. You know, we read the emails because the Clippers are a little cash poor when it comes to draft picks right now. But you can listen to Locked On NBA podcast.
Love email threads.
Oh, it's a good time. But you can listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft, which is very soon, tomorrow when you're listening to this, to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, the Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. It's fantastic. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get podcasts. And Will, talk to me about some energy gel.
Well, with the draft coming up, you don't want to get too tired. You need to keep your board in order.
Very good.
The best way to do that is with Built Go. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. It's perfect for breaking through your wall, whether it's mental or physical.
Yeah.
It's easy to take. Comes in little 1.5-ounce squeezable packages. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes in three delicious flavors. They got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. And that's all three. How does Built Go work so well, you're probably asking? It combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast. Plus, it's easy on the old stomach. Nice. Built Go is loaded with stuff to ignite your work. It kicks in to keep you going strong. And collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health.
Awesome.
The stuff literally makes you look better. And right now, we have a special offer for our listeners. If you visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, now that we're building and we're going, we're talking Chris Dunn to the Clippers. We're also going to be talking possibly the Clippers moving up in the draft. What should we start with first, Will? You dislike both these ideas.
I hate both of these ideas. So let's you choose.
All right. So let's start. There's rumors that the Clippers are looking up to try and get the Mavs 18th pick, with Lou Williams being a part of it. Maybe this actually lends itself to a great question we got from Clipper Zay asking, "What are the short-term benefits of the Clippers trading up in the draft if we're in win-now mode?" Personally, I'd rather keep Lou in that Mavs deal, and I couldn't agree more. I don't know who the Clippers would target with that 18th pick that we're going to stash for a season. Admittedly, because I don't know much about this draft, but like, I don't
even
know.
What's the point?
I don't know if I trust the Clippers trading away. I don't think we get someone who can soak up minutes like Lou Will in the regular season at number 18, right? Like that's kind of what the trade-off is.
We absolutely cannot. We absolutely cannot. That's no. It'd be absurd to think that we could have a guy who's going to score 19 points off the bench at with the 18th pick. I just have no evidence of that. I really don't see what the point would be. Unless we're going to be in the market for another point guard to come off the bench, which we'll talk about him later, but Chris Dunn isn't that guy.
And I love that you're tying in both the things you hate into one argument.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, obviously you can't contribute right away. I don't know what the developmental minutes are going to look like yet. They keep preaching development as like player development as a part of this new sort of coaching staff. But we've heard Ty Lue talk about player development means more than development of young guys. It's about extracting the most value of the guys that you already have. And I guess I'd rather extract the most value out of the guys that we already have in Lou Will than an 18th pick. Unless this is my one caveat.
We
my
take
one caveat. Is sure we take Amandar and we're really just playing 4D chess and we're giving them Lou Will because we know when we match up against him in the playoffs we're just gonna hunt him out and and kill him absolutely on defense. So that's my one caveat for being okay with it. Other than that, I don't like it. I think this draft is so unpredictable. I don't see the point of giving up a contributing player for an 18th pick.
So I tend to agree with you, and a lot of Clippers fans kind of are torn on it because we kind of we have a spotty track record with development. Obviously, Shea was great, but it almost that he was going to succeed no matter what. But there's an interesting note. I mean, I think the Clippers are going to move up per Ian Begley. Arizona's Zeke Nagy, says he's worked out in person for the Heat, Jazz, Nuggets, and Clippers, among other teams. The interesting thing about this is that Zeke has been mocked late in the first round of most drafts I've seen, and some people have him like right outside the lottery. So if we're looking at a guy like this, I don't think it's crazy to think that we are going to move up in the draft. I just hope we don't. I hope we just buy the pick. Make Ballmer pay for it. If we really want to do it, like, don't trade someone who can soak up these regular season minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, once again, if you're planning on making another move, I guess it's fine. I mean, I don't know.
I love how flummoxed this. It's like such a weird, non, like, impactful thing if we were to do this, it feels like.
I mean, Zeke is pretty enticing. Average 16, 9, and a whole one assist.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wing, so it's this thing. I'm pretty sure. So it's this thing of like, all right, more of these kind of hybrid guys. But let's move on to the thing that kind of has Clippers fans torn. The Clippers are reportedly interested in Chris Dunn again. This was reported earlier in the season that the team wanted to try and trade for him. There's a great quote from Hardwood Paroxysm. He said, "I would absolutely take a flyer on Dunn, who is an elite defender, no exaggeration, and unplayable because of his offense." Again, no exaggeration, but there's more than enough there to work with. But is there enough for him to be the Clippers' backup point guard?
To me, no. So I've kind of said this before, I think, but I'm kind of interested in a point guard, that's good enough of a playmaker to play some minutes with the starting, with the remaining starting four, just to be moved around. I kind of want like that archetype of like sort of what George Hill is for the Bucks.
Okay.
And I think, like, to me, that's someone with like a high floor IQ, which I do think that Dunn possesses, but he's just not really the facilitator.
Been shown his career yet that he can really get the offense moving. But he has played, the Bulls are shitty and he had Boylan, but still the flashes weren't really there from what I've seen.
Yeah. And I mean, I just don't think that he is that type of, he's just not really that type of floor general. And he's such a non-factor on offense. Like, truly.
Yeah. You just stay away from him. It'd be the Mo Harkless treatment.
Yeah, truly such a non-factor that, between his complete lack of offense and Lou's complete lack of defense, I don't even know that that makes
it'd be a
one,
disaster.
I truly don't know that that equals one capable guard.
Yeah, that VORP is probably even, if not negative. And then the bigger question that's kind of been floating around on Clippers Twitter, how bad do we actually need a playmaking point guard? We were one game away from the Western Conference Finals without having this, with a horrible offensive system. If we were to have a good offensive system,
who's to say? You know, we don't know what happens in the Western Conference Finals, but I would have liked the Clippers' chances. But I think this begs an interesting question. I think the answer is we might need one for the bench, but we don't need one that's going to cause a giant shift in our roster, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, so this has been our conversation throughout most of this has been, I do think it would be nice to have a facilitating point guard. I think most likely they would be coming off the bench and would play some minutes with the starters to help guys get into sets. Is it 100% necessity? I mean, that depends on what the system looks like with Ty Lue. Yeah. I do think that it was apparent that Kawhi shouldn't – I mean, he's not LeBron. He shouldn't have to handle the ball as much as he was.
Yeah.
He improved immensely last season. And, you know, maybe he can take another jump in that regard. But it's one of those things that, like, it, you know, it does help to take some of that off of him. And I think with a fully healthy Pat, if we can keep him healthy for a full season, you know – given some tweaks to the system, I do think that Pat could help fulfill that role. So I wouldn't say that it's a necessity, but I would put it on my want list. You know, it's not a need. It's not a need.
It's like not my top three wants. Yeah.
It's in my top three wants. It's my top want for sure, but it's not a need. I don't need it. Like,
oh, that's
need,
a fair call. Yeah.
I don't need it like I need Morris or like I need Jamichael or need another center on the bench. But
yeah,
you know, I want it.
I have some money. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the finalized coaching staff as well as just, you know, so an old Clipper has a new home.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which is just kind of where we sort out all the odds and ends in the NBA.
Oh, yes.
So the a relief to a lot of Clippers fans, I'm sure the coaching staff has been finalized.
What?
In addition to Dan Craig, we're going to have Kenny Atkinson, Billups, and Drew. The Clippers have hired assistant Roy Rogers, and they've also retained Brendan O'Connor and Jeremy Castleberry.
And Natalie Nagasa, yeah.
I was going to say, and Natalie.
Hell yeah, which is so great. Roy Rogers, I hope media availability is there so I can just be sitting in the front row and just drinking a Roy Rogers when I first meet Roy Rogers, because I'm sure he loves that joke.
What's in a Roy Rogers?
Couldn't tell you. Soda and a cherry and something else, I think. It's a non-alcoholic.
It's not a Buck Rogers?
I don't know. Possibly. Right. You know what? Based on when these drinks were invented, they probably both those dudes have drinks. Weird soda stream drinks. But no, this is a stacked assistant coaching staff. Like, it's nice to see Atkinson officially announced, you know, but yeah, let's get it.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, okay, great. It looks good on paper.
Yeah, step one. I mean, I was really impressed that we were able to add Atkinson to this. I think that's another guy who's great. And maybe that does influence you to want to move up to take a pick.
Very good point.
He's a guy
Same
who's
with Craig,
done,
too.
Yeah, done great with developing players into, you know, playoff-ready players. So yeah, I think it's great. Obviously, this was like the first domino to fall. Now we need a roster.
We just gotta make some moves,
and then I'll feel a lot better.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a really good point. Kind of thinking about the development with that, with possibly getting up in the draft. Just, you know, because we've seen what Dan and Atkinson have done with their respective teams. I'm a little less against it now, I guess. Now that you made that point, as long as we only buy it. And then going off, you know, former Clipper Chris Paul, he's going to the Suns. It's official. It's about to be done. Congrats.
Real Sunshine State.
Yeah. Congrats to Chris Paul, I guess. He's going to go to the Suns.
I mean, I think it'll be fun. I'm excited to watch it on the court. You know, it definitely makes me nervous to play them. I don't know, man. I think that this was a solid option. I don't know, man. I guess I've kind of reconciled with the fact that Chris Paul is going to be one of those dudes who is, you know, arguably the greatest at the position for their era, but
never got a ring. Yeah,
just never got a ring.
Similar to the Steve Nash.
Yeah, this doesn't really move him any closer, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see the on-court product.
I think it moves him one inch closer in the giant race to getting to the championship.
I don't know about that, man.
But per Mark Berman, the Suns deal for Chris Paul is about done per Woj. Mark Berman was told CP3's first choice was the Clippers now that Doc Rivers is gone. And he seemed to mix on New York, which I think is a nice way of saying New York would have sucked. Man, God, is that twisting the knife a little bit with now that Doc Rivers is gone? Why are you going to put that in there, Mark?
I mean, it makes sense. They're, you know, both sides. I mean, Doc was kind of candid. I believe his quote was that CP3 is the kind of player who likes a coach but doesn't necessarily like to be coached.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's issues with buying into Doc's systems. And, I mean, as we've seen, there's clearly issues with the system itself.
Yeah.
And how things are sort of delegated there. And I don't know that he was ever that great of a manager of personalities. We saw the on-court product of that Lob City era. And clearly, I mean, there were issues that went beyond just the on-court stuff properly managed.
But at the same time,
I can see that.
I'm also pretty happy the Clippers didn't trade for Chris Paul.
Oh, that was never a reality.
Man, people wanted it bad on Twitter, dude. There's a lot of photoshops of Chris Paul in the City Edition jersey with PG and Kawhi just walking up that court.
Oh, I mean, like theoretically, like in a vacuum, yeah, it sounds great, but the money is just, it's insurmountable.
It's impossible. And then on to broader NBA news, just a quick, what a great scenario to be in. James Harden turned down $50 million a year to be in Houston for an extension. Just didn't like it anymore. Doesn't need $50 million.
He doesn't.
But also $50
million. He's a simple man with simple pleasures.
Strip clubs.
they don't even take $50 million checks there. They only take ones.
It's a lot of ones. So this means he's probably out of the Western Conference, right?
Yeah, I'm struggling to see a trade package for him. I'm really struggling to see a trade package for him.
And the Nets can kind of offer their weird smorgasbord of pretty good
players. I don't see that happening either.
It's like, so where's he going to go is the thing. Like, because if the Rockets can't keep him, both of these guys want out of there. They can't keep these guys with a first-year head coach.
No, they can't. Like, we're looking – I mean, I think realistically – if things go the way I hope they do for the Rockets, both of these guys will be gone before the start of the season.
For sure.
I think that's the best case scenario for the Rockets. They're able to unload. Cause if they start the 2021 season with both players on the roster,
these guys
openly not wanting to be there, that sounds like a disaster. But at the same time, it's going to be very difficult to, you know, get the same kind of value from that you get from James Harden, obviously. Like I currently can't think of a trade package that is sweet
makes
enough
it to, good
to make even to not even like be a equal, because that's not gonna happen, but like make the sting not sting so bad.
For sure. Anything else in Shavens?
No, let's get out of here.
I think that wraps it up. Thank you again to everyone who sent their questions in. At Locked On Clips, going to be sending out Wednesday's episode. We're doing What You Say Wednesday, so we're sending out a poll out there on Twitter. You know, maybe it'll be about trade stuff, maybe about rotations, who knows. Probably some trade talk and some more rumors are going to pop up. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Definitely helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, you can leave a rating or review. We will read it on air. So I hope that's an extra incentive. And yeah, just keep rocking with us. By the time you're listening to this, the draft will be tomorrow. And hopefully the Clippers will have made a move.
Oh, wow. Interesting. We'll see what happens. I have been Positive Chuck Blockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.